Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. This week I'm looking at three new movies. They're spiritual revolutionaries in California in the 60s, teenage dissidents in Bucharest in the 70s, and a crazed animal in Georgia in the 80s. Cocaine Bear, directed by Elizabeth Banks. It looks like a typical day in 1985 in the Chattahoochee National Forest of Georgia. Two little kids are playing hooky. Three skateboard-riding teenage delinquents are looking for some petty crimes to commit. A pair of Scandinavian backpackers are on a hike, and a middle-aged forest ranger is dressed to impress a guy she wants to date. But everything changes when a prop plane pilot drops a dozen duffel bags of uncut cocaine into the woods and then promptly dies. Suddenly, the supply chain is broken and out-of-state traffickers looking to retrieve their supply and the cops who want to nab them all descend on the park at once. And here's where the actual movie starts. A huge black bear sticks its nose into one of the duffel bags and emerges as a frantic, delirious cokehead forever on the lookout for more snow to blow. Who will find the drugs? The cops, the gangsters, the delinquents, or the children? And who will not be eaten by the bear? Cocaine Bear is a lowbrow, high-concept comedy that's basically 90 minutes of extreme gore violence. I was a bit dubious at the beginning, but about 20, 30 minutes into it, it starts to get really funny. I know it's stupid funny, but it still made me laugh. The all-CGI bear is one of the main characters, but there's also a great assortment of other ones played by an all-star cast. Margot Martindale as the forest ranger, the late Ray Liotta in his last film as the gangster, Alden Ehrenreich as his diffident son, O'Shea Jackson Jr. as his henchman, and Kerry Russell as the valiant mom searching for the two lost children. It's hilariously directed by TV actor Elizabeth Banks. Cocaine Bear easily beats Snakes on a Plane and Sharknado as best movie based solely on a title. Supposedly inspired by true events, yeah, sure. It has lots of room for ridiculous 80s haircuts, music, and other gags to usually good effect. Stoner movies are a dime a dozen, and half of the movies coming out of Hollywood are clearly made by cokeheads, but this may be the first comedy about cocaine I've ever seen. If you're comfortable laughing at blood, gore, and gratuitous violence, along with lots of base humor, I think you'll love this one. Jesus Revolution, directed by John Irwin and Brent McCorkle. It's the late 1960s in California, where young people everywhere are tuning in, turning on, and dropping out. One of these kids is Greg Laurie, played by Joel Courtney, who attends a military academy at his mother's behest, but would rather be drawing cartoons. He lives in a trailer with his mom, a glamorous but alcoholic barfly. He meets a pretty girl named Kathy hanging with the hippies outside a public high school, and he decides that's where he'd rather be. But Kathy's from an upper-class family whose parents look down on Greg. Meanwhile, Chuck Smith, played by Kelsey Grammer, a local pastor, wonders why no one is coming to his Calvary Chapel anymore. It's because you're a square, his daughter tells him. So she introduces him to a unique man she met at a psychedelic happening. Lonnie Frisbee, played by Jonathan Rumi, is a charismatic, touchy-feely type who talks like a hippie and looks like Jesus. He emerged from the sex and drug world of Haight Ashbury with a mission from God, and now he wants to spread the gospel to everyone he meets. Chuck Smith is less than impressed, but he decides to give him a try. Soon, there are block-long lineups to hear what Lonnie and Chuck have to say. This includes Kathy and Greg, who barely survived a bad acid trip. Lonnie gives Greg a place to live and invites him to join the church. Calvary Chapel is now attracting people from everywhere, culminating in mass baptisms in the Pacific Ocean. But as their fame grows, so does friction. The more moderate Chuck frowns on Lonnie's in-your-face style, from faith healing to his talk of being closer to God. Can Greg find a place in this world? Will Kathy's family ever accept him? And is this a movement or just a flash in the pan? Jesus Revolution is a retelling of the unexpected upsurge in grassroots Christianity among baby boomers in the 1970s. The film is clearly aimed at evangelical churchgoers, a subject in which I have absolutely no interest, zero, which is why I was surprised how watchable this film is to a general audience. It's not preachy. It shows, not tells. It's well acted with compelling characters and a surprisingly good story. No angels or miracles here, just regular, flawed, but sympathetic people. I think it's because the Irwin brothers have figured out how to make mainstream faith-based movies that are actually good. This film is based on real people, actual historical figures, so I was a bit surprised they never mentioned that Lonnie Frisbee was actually a gay man who later died of HIV/AIDS. I guess it doesn't fit in with the story they want to tell. That said, if you're involved in a church or a fan of spiritual films, this might be just what you're looking for. Metronome, written and directed by Alexandru Belc. It's 1972 in Bucharest, Romania. Anna Ansarin, played by Mara Bugarin and Serban Lazarovici, are a beautiful couple still in high school and madly in love. They both come from privileged intellectual families who are given special cases in Ceausescu's communist regime. They go to an elite school together and hope to pass their baccalaureates to get into an equally good university. So they meet in front of a World War II heroes monument, dressed in stylish trench coats and school uniforms. But why is Anna crying? Sarin and his family are emigrating to Germany. This means they're breaking up for good and will probably never see each other again. Anna's crushed. Her world is broken, which is why she has no interest in going out and going to an afternoon party at a friend's house. But she changes her mind at the last minute. Her father, a law professor, is easygoing, but her mother absolutely forbids it. But Anna sneaks out anyway and heads to the get-together. This could be her last chance before he leaves to make out with Sarin and express her eternal love. The party centered around listening to Western music, Led Zeppelin, Hendrix, The Doors, as played on a radio show called Metronome on Radio Free Europe. Western music is underground, subversive, and illicit, and actually illegal. They decide to write a letter to the show and pass it on to a French journalist. But two bad things happen. First, when they make love behind a closed door, Sarin won't say he loves her. And the party later gets raided by the secret police, and all the kids are arrested and forced to write confessions. But Anna is so caught up in a relationship, she barely even notices the interrogation she's landed up in. Who ratted them out to the authorities, and what will happen to Anna? Metronome is a passionate story of young love in the 1970s under the omnipresent gaze of an authoritarian government. It's a coming-of-age story about heartbreak and the loss of innocence as the real world reveals its ugly face. So if you've never seen a Romanian movie before, this one is a good film to start with. They all have this feeling of tension, corruption, mistrust, and unease. whether set during Ceausescu's regime or long after his fall. This one also has hot sex, good music, stark cinematography, and terrific acting, especially Mara Bugarin as Anna. It manages to be a thriller, a romance, and a coming-of-age story all at once. I like this movie. It's a good one. Metronome is now playing at the TIFF Bell Lightbox Cocaine Bear and Jesus Revolution open nationwide this weekend. Check your local listings. This is Daniel Garb of the Movies each Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.